The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony, how are you doing? A little bit late there. Apologize. Everything going well your side?
Not bad, thank you. Benji Bokratov to you and to Howard. I hope you guys are doing okay.
I mean, Howard is fine, as far as I can tell.
And you may ask, where is Howard Feldman this morning? Well, you know,
I'm already past that already.
Yeah, no, he's over it. Come on.
No.
Howard, like, I'm here.
I'm not saying there is a connection, but there was a lotto jackpot of 230 million yesterday. Now, I'm not suggesting that Howard Feldman may have won that money, but he isn't in studio this morning. And I just think that's a very weird coincidence.
I think that
you wouldn't be jealous in any sort of way, would you?
None whatsoever. The mere fact that I did not buy a ticket is actually no reason that I should not have won.
Don't worry, Anthony. It's nothing in shekels anyway. So now I see that a commemoration march was held yesterday in Jerusalem for Ori Ansbacher, the teenager who was murdered 2 weeks ago in a Jerusalem forest. What's behind this?
So, obviously there is still an outpouring of grief over this murder, terrorist attack that took place, committed against Ori Ansbacher. And she was actually raped and murdered in this forest called Ein Yahel, which is quite near to the Jerusalem Zoo area. And it seems just to have been kind of a spontaneous reaction for so many people living not only in Tekoa, where Ori came from, but indeed people living in Jerusalem who are still horrified about the attack that took place. And as we said at the time when we spoke about the attack, Jerusalemites are used to terror, unfortunately, and terror attacks take place frequently in Israel, and Israel in some way, Israelis in general, have some sort of a defensive reaction against terror attacks. But this one had its own special characteristics, which makes it very, very different from terror attacks that we've seen up until now. It was so personal. It was so, up in your face kind of an attack where she was attacked while she was alone in the forest, which it would generally be a safe place for anybody to be. She was attacked, she was raped and murdered by this terrorist who really was intent upon, exercising these nationalistic views, and subsequently quite a number of stories have come out about the individual and how he had already claimed in years before this attack took place that he was very determined to carry out a nationalistic attack, but nobody could have dreamt that it would be an attack of this sort of nature. And really there were something like 6,000 people who turned up to this almost spontaneous event, which was really just pulled together at the very last minute through social media and other contacts. And people just turned up in order not only to support Ori, who really epitomized an amazingly good person. She was someone who was loved by all of those around her. She was doing amazing work as part of her national service. She was in the Sherut Lumi framework, where she was contributing towards helping children in her years of national service. And, you know, she was entitled to have just had some time on her own, if that's what she wanted, in that forest, without having to be concerned about being attacked. So this is just really a spontaneous outpouring of grief and support to some degree for Ori and for, of course, her grief-stricken members of her family. This attack really has shaken Israel, has shaken Jerusalem, because it's just such a different attack than anything that we've seen up until now.
Yeah, awful, awful story. Hopefully the family does find some peace. Moving on to the next story on today's, doesn't look like policy is a big deal in the Israeli election so far. The two leading prime ministerial candidates, exchanging personal insults. Is this a feature of Israeli politics? Something useful?
Well, unfortunately it's really come out, in the last few days. And it's quite ironic that Benny Gantz and Prime Minister Netanyahu would really be insulting each other in a personal way, as we saw yesterday. Because let's bear in mind that in the general election, there are no votes that are being cast for individuals. The votes are being cast for parties. And then the leader of the party that receives the most number of votes in that election will be the person who is called upon to form a government and inevitably will become the prime minister. So the fact that these individuals are exchanging personal insults shows to what extent the character of the person who's leading the party seems to have as an influence over people who are voting for their parties. That's, you know, the only conclusion that we can reach, because Benny Gantz really came out very strongly saying that, you know, it was Prime Minister Netanyahu who was swanning around in the United States learning English and going to acting lessons and having drinks at parties and being made up for TV, while he, Benny Gantz, was in the foxholes, was lying in the mud with his soldiers on frozen winter nights, protecting the state of Israel. So this is Benny Gantz trying to present Prime Minister Netanyahu as being somebody who's looking for the limelight and who's always gone out to search for the limelight, while he, Benny Gantz, has been the guy with boots on the ground. He's the guy who's connected to the grassroots. He's the guy on the street and of course, on the borders, while he was in the army. Of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu was very, very quick to respond back, saying that he also was involved in some serious IDF operations. He was an officer, he was a soldier and an officer in the Sayeret Matkal, which is a very elite combat unit in the IDF, and that he was wounded in a battle with terrorists. He almost lost his life, he claimed, in an exchange that took place on the Suez Canal. And of course, nobody will forget the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu's brother Yoni was the one who was killed during the raid at Entebbe. And of course, that has also been invoked in order to try to show that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not only the person who goes out to cocktail parties and to TV studios and to acting lessons, as has been claimed by Benny Gantz, but he also has been an officer in the IDF in a very, very elite unit. He's been wounded. He's given up a member of his family as part of IDF operations. So this is really getting very, very personal indeed between the two leaders. And of course, other people wheeling in and weighing in order to protect one candidate or the other. But this is certainly going to get very personal. And as we already discussed, you know, the ratings show that as far as the electorate is concerned, it's very, very close as to who the Israeli public see as the most logical next prime minister to Israel. But I think the one thing that Benny Gantz needs to be very careful about is that instead of criticizing Netanyahu and trying to bring him down, I think he needs to promote himself to show why he is a better candidate than Netanyahu. The Israeli public already know what Prime Minister Netanyahu's credentials are as a prime minister. And I think it would be very, very hard to knock those back and to try to bring them down. I think that Gantz's tactic really needs to be to show why he, as an individual, can be a better prime minister than the one that we already have and the one that we already know, rather than trying to bring him down.
Yeah, indeed. Certainly interesting to see where that would go. Anthony, we've got two more items to get through. An Israeli film won the top prize, the Golden Bear, at the Berlin Film Festival over the weekend. What's the film about?
Well, this is an interesting one because Israeli films have generally done quite well at the Berlin Film Festival over the years. And over the weekend, this particular film, which is called Synonyms, and actually the way that it's spelt is almost in a French style of spelling. The film is called Synonyms, and it's by Nadav Lapid. The film is apparently about an Israeli who has completed the army and effectively goes abroad in order somehow to try to escape from the Israeli situation and, you know, to try to find himself, as many Israelis do once they've completed their army training, once they've completed their army service. And it kind of didn't win unanimous praise. There were people who felt that it was good, that they enjoyed it. There were people that felt that it was a little pretentious, a little self-indulgent, perhaps even not a content which is particularly good. But it really seems to delve into the whole issue of nature of identity, how people identify, and particularly a person who's been through the IDF and been through national service and how he identifies after that. And I think it's a situation that a lot of Israelis go through once they've completed their national service. We find that, you know, Israelis who are serving in the army are very patriotic and are very committed to the cause of serving in the army. And then when they finish all of that and they seem to lose this kind of purpose that they had during the period that they had in the army, and they need to then find purpose in their own personal lives rather than in a national sort of way, serving the national country, then it begins to weigh on people, and they need to try to delve a little bit more deeply into themselves in order to find themselves. And I think this is what the film is about. As it turns out, it did win the Golden Bear, so there must be something to it, I'm guessing. I guess everybody will decide for themselves what they think about it.
Anthony, with 1 minute to go before news, I feel like we have to smuggle this in because Israel's first spacecraft is due to launch on Friday, and there's actually a South African behind the initiative. So I thought, no, we got to have to just talk about that for a minute.
Indeed. So this is an amazing initiative, and of course, by launching a spacecraft onto the moon, which is what this Bereshit spacecraft, that's the name of the spacecraft, Bereshit, it's due to be launched on Friday. It'll take apparently 7 weeks, to get to the moon. And it will literally launch Israel into quite a unique club of countries that have so far managed to land a spacecraft on the moon, being only the US, the Soviet Union, and China. Those are the countries, and now add to that also Israel as we head out on Friday. And of course, the South African behind the initiative is Maurice Kahn, who's indeed been behind many initiatives in Israel, and a very well-known Israeli businessman, having been very successful in a number of areas, and he's certainly helped to finance this and to promote it. And so we will be looking very eagerly in the early hours of Friday morning to see that this spacecraft will be successfully launched, and that it will finally land on the moon in about 7 weeks' time from now, sometime during April. I'm not sure if it'll be before or after the election, but around that sort of time. So this is an interesting story that we'll continue to follow over the next few weeks.
Landing in the Sea of Tranquility, I'm sure. Anthony Reich there bringing us the Israel Report. Thank you so much, Anthony. You'll be chatting again with Howard, assuming he hasn't won the lottery, tomorrow morning. And now time for the news, slightly late, with Sonali Guma.